said on the phone that since we are starting to celebrate the consummation and the Sunday of the fulfillment and so on, personally, I like to see Advent more oriented toward the first coming of Christ, but in the history of the church, it has really been oriented toward the first, the second, and what might be called the middle coming, that is, his coming in word and sacrament to us even today. So it's not inappropriate that we do this. Okay, so this is Luke 21, and Luke 21 is the equivalent of Matthew 24 and Mark 13, namely the passages that have to do with the destruction of Jerusalem, the end time, and so forth. So we pick it up on page 231 of the Nestle text, 25. Kai esontai semaia en heleo kai selene kai astrois, and there will be signs in the sun and moon, Selene, the girl's name Selena comes from this, and astrois, asteroid or whatever, as stars, and upon the earth, sun oche ethnon. Sun echo is constriction, holding together, so that would be what would you say, foment, but in the sense of kind of getting all worked up like that, of nations. Now, this next part, I really puzzled over this. I'm not sure how this should go together quite. En aporia echus thalases kai salu. Now, first, let's just do a little vocabulary here. The last word, salu, is like waves or the rolling or the trough of waves. Aporia, actually, aporia has come over as an English word, which means like to be at a loss, to be confused. And then echus is from echus, ta echus, which means sound. So how does this go together? I think it's something like this. Upon the earth, foment of nations in a state of being lost in confusion over the sound of the sea and the waves. So I guess it would be something like the tremendous sound of the sea and the breakers breaking is the kind and the way people get frightened at that is the kind of fright that there's going to be upon earth. I was kind of hoping that there might be a variant reading of echus that would be nominative, but there isn't one. There's just a genitive, I can just amend that the way J.C. O'Neill used to do at Cambridge. Right. But I think we better not do that. Yes. Well, echus isn't accusative. It's genitive. It is, I see what you're thinking. No. What that is that's from a word, ta echus, which declines like ethnos, ethnus. Yeah, it's that declension. Right. So you have the sea and the rolling of the wave. That's a nice kind of poetic touch there of salu, for solace. 26. Apopsychonton anthropon, genitive absolute here. While people are apo, you can see psyche in there, at a loss spiritually. Now, I don't mean that in a sense of like their faith, but losing heart. They are weak in weak knees. They've lost spirit on something, dispirited. That's good. While people are dispirited from fear and prostokeos, prostokeo is to expect, an expectation of ton eperchomenon, of the things which are coming upon the oikoumene, the inhabited world. Oikoumene, English word, ecumenical comes from that. Oikoumene means the inhabited world. This is as opposed to cosmos, which is just kind of the world as such, more physically. I want you to notice something grammatically here. Ton epergomenon is not a genitive absolute because it's not in predicate position. It's in attributive position with the tone. And therefore you say expectations of the coming upon the inhabited earth things, of the things coming upon the inhabited earth. For hi dynamis, the powers of the heavens, soloi thesantai, third person plural, future indicative passive, will be shaken from soloio. And tote then, opsantai, they will see, third plural, future indicative middle, the Son of Man, erchomenon, coming in a cloud, on a cloud, with dynameos, with power and doxes poleis, great glory. I think poleis probably is to modify also dynameos, so you could say with power, great power and glory. There's a flag on the play here, which you might want to notice, and it's exactly what we would expect. Dynamai pole kai doxe. Why? Because that's the way that Greek normally puts the two things together. It drops the common modifier in between the two things. Andy, is that a Semitism or not, to drop the modifier in between two nouns? So, I mean, that you'd have like horses good and chariots, meaning good horses and chariots. No? Okay. Right, right. That's the way, we tend to put it at the front. We'd say good horses and chariots. And Greek tends to drop it in the center. I want you to notice erchomenon in verse 27, middle of the verse. That is the so-called supplementary participle again. It's part of the object. In other words, you see the Son of Man coming. Not while he is coming, but you see him coming. 28. Archomenon de tuton. Now that's another GA, genitive absolute. And while or as these things are beginning, ginesthai, to come to be. Now, why did I say beginning? Doesn't an archo mean to rule? Yes, but in the middle it means to begin. Remember, archo is to rule, archomai is to begin. While these things are beginning to come to pass, anakupsate kai eparate. Anakupsate, straighten up. Straighten up. Katakupto is to bend over. That's what they did when Peter and John ran out to the tomb and they looked in like that. That's katakupto. Anakupto, straighten up your back. And eparate, hold up your kephalos, your cephalic areas, your heads. Dioti, because engidzai draws near, he apolytrosis, your redemption. Your redemption draws nigh, draws near. Now, those two forms, anakupsate, eparate. Second person plural, so-called aorist, imperative active. And you notice that because they're not indicative, they don't have an augment. And an indicative would have been anekupsate, eparate, but the augment has to go off when you're outside the indicative mood. Now, I want you to notice there how he talks about that these things, when these things happen, get ready to roll. And now he says there will be signs. Verse 29. And he said a parable to them. Itate, second plural aorist imperative active. See the fig and all the trees. When probalosin, when they throw forward probalo, put out leaves already at a given time, a day. Blepontes, as you see it, af helton genoskete, from yourselves you know. Now, that means, I think that means something like this. He doesn't, notice, be accurate to the Greek here. He doesn't simply say, you yourselves know. No, he says, you know from yourselves. In other words, I don't have to tell you. It's something that you know as a human being by your own natural human understanding. You know from yourselves, how a tone is reflexive, that already engus, near, is the summer theros. Houtos, so also you guys. Hotan, when you see these things, genomena, happening. Idete, second person plural, so-called aorist, subjunctive, active. Genomena, neuter, plural, accusative, participle, present, middle. When you see these things happening, supplementary. Genoskete, you know, or is this imperative? No. See, these are like forms in the second person plural present. The imperative and the indicative are identical. So, you, when you see these things happening, it's in the future, hey, and that hotan might be generalized whenever you see these things happening. You know or know that engis, near, is the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, hume par elthe hegene ahaute, shall surely not pass away, third singular aorist subjunctive active, this generation, heos on, until the time when, on generalizes it, of course, panta genetai, third singular aorist subjunctive middle, until all these things come to pass. Ha uranos kai hege, the heaven and the earth will pass away, but my words, ume par eloisantai, shall surely not pass away. And this time we have, instead of the aorist subjunctive, we have the future indicative, which is even stronger. As I mentioned last time we did this, the panta encompasses the signs. Is it limited to the signs? Is it limited to the fulfillments? This is an interesting kind of a problem. Andy reminded me last time that I didn't say anything about genea, generation. It can, of course, mean the people living at this time, but it can also be argued that generation would mean something like a certain kind of people. Like, for example, in Psalm 12, it talks about the generation of the righteous or the generation of the wicked. That doesn't mean just people living at a given time. So there's room to move on that. Frankly, I think that's sophistry, though. I think what it's really saying here is all this stuff is going to be upon you in your generation. Now, in 34, juxtaposed right to it. Now, Siegel, we could say in terms of hermeneutics that we have this intertextuality right here. We got the two blocks of material just shoved right next to each other. Right next to each other comes a statement which looks like it contradicts what went before. And these are the two poles that we must always keep in balance in terms of the second coming. Now, he's just said, look, it's coming, signs of it's coming, you can read the signs just as well as you can read the signs of the leaves coming out that summertime. Well, let's look at 34 to 36. Prosechete de hautois, pehit yourselves, mepate, lest barre thosin, humon, hai cardii, lest your hearts, notice the emphasis, look where that humon is, humon hoi hai cardii. He's not worried at this point about the people who are unbelievers. He's worried about you guys. Lest your hearts be heavily weighed down. A baras is a weight. And cry pale, it's a unique word here. It's a hapax legomenon in the New Testament. In fact, a lot of these are, up in verse 25, echus, salu, those are all hapaxes for this. for the New Testament means dissipation. That your hearts be burdened down in dissipation, and methe, that's drinking, and merimnais, cares, beotikais, biological, bodily cares. So lest your hearts be weighed down in dissipation, in drunkenness, in bodily cares, and episte ephumas aifnideus hemera ekine. Andy, look at that nice Semitic arrangement of the demonstrative pronoun as the last word. Yeah, so you have the day, this one. Now, it doesn't repeat it, the, this one. Greek couldn't do that, but it sure could order it this way. And so here's our requisite form of histemi. Episte, important to analyze that one. Third singular, aorist, subjunctive active of the strong aorist. And that's the one that is intransitive. So, lest suddenly that day stand in upon you, that it be present. Ephistemi is kind of come on and be there next to somebody. That is not, you know, this is an interesting, and you've heard me say this before, is I sometimes think a characteristic of good Greek is to have deliberately confusing morphology. And this would be an example because kripale and methe both end with a eta yoda subscript and are dative singulars. And episte does the same thing except it's a verb form. And I think that's a nice little literary touch here. So, lest that day suddenly come upon you, skies. Hos pages, as a snare, a trap. Ep Eiseloisetai. Eiseloisetai. Eloisetai is from Erchemai, Eloisemai. Ep upon, ice in. For it will come on in upon pantas tus kathemenus, those sitting upon the face of all the earth. I can't figure out why you use kathemenus. Kathemenus. Sitting upon. You know, it's not the word katoikeo for dwelling upon, inhabiting. It's really strange. It just seems like a strange pick. I'm not sure what to say. I didn't have time to kind of check out if there's some minor meaning of sitting as dwelling or something like that. I mean, obviously, it's not a problem in general semantic terms, but it seems like an odd choice. Unless this is picked for the specific reason that the people are sitting down and they're not ready, something like that. They don't stand with their loins girded or something like this. 36. Agrippnaite, we had that last lesson. Watch in every Cairo, in every season, in every unique time, in every point of time. Now, here's where you're knowing the Greek is helpful to you. See, if a translation would say something like, watch at all times, well, I'm not saying that that's wrong, but I think this isn't chronos. It's not saying watch for all of the time that you endure, but watch in every unique, specific time. And I think that's an indication that these signs are there and you never know. See, you never know because the signs are just always upon you. It's simply not going to be apparent that, oh, well, this is the big kahuna now. The rest of these were just little signs or something like that. Watch in every unique time. De omenoi, praying. De omenoi from deo mai is a deponent, passive deponent, mean to pray, request. And the hina clause is object. Praying that kat ischisete, that you may be strong, ekphagain, to flee all these things, ta melanta, which are going ginesthai to be. Remember, melo means to be about to be going to, and ginesthai is present because melo always takes the present. To be about to be ready to, you can see the connection there. Karischisete, karischio, is to be able, and generally it's a pretty strong word. I mean, it's actually have the capability of a little stronger than dunamai. That's second, by the way, second person plural, aorist subjunctive active. In order that you might be really able to flee, escape, ekphoigo is to escape. To escape all these things that are going to come to be, and stathenai, empros then, tu huiu tu anthropu, and to stand. Andy, we get a double dose here. Stathenai, yeah, aorist passive infinitive from histemi, and it's intransitive in the passive, that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Note there's a flag on the play on this one, and it is a future, this is interesting, a future middle that's read by the Western tradition, and so that would say, pray that you are able to escape all these things which are going to happen, and you will be able to, and you will stand. Kind of an interesting interpretation of that. All right, so the point I want to make in conclusion then, and this is, in actual point of fact, the dual bucket brigade of water that you got to carry on your shoulders on this issue, which very things are also present, not only in our Lord's saying, but also in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Namely, watch at all times. You never know when it's going to be. It's going to come like a thief in the night. People are going to be fooled. On the other hand, there are signs. You ought to be able to read the signs. Just like you can see the leaves and you know summer's coming. So you know he's right there at the very door. Now, this is the kind of contrast that we find in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. In 2 Thessalonians, we have in chapter 2 the coming of the man of lawlessness, sometimes called the Antichrist or whatever. That is a sign. The end does not come until certain signs take place. On the other hand, in 1 Thessalonians 5, it says that it's going to come like a thief in the night. And watch, because you don't know. Now, assuming, and I think this is a good basic principle, that an author knows what he just said in his last letter, it is probable that he is doing exactly the same thing that our Lord is doing. Namely, that he is balancing these two poles, this kind of antinomous thing, that there are signs of his coming, which we should be able to read, and yet it is something that will come upon people like a thief in the night, and when they say peace, peace, there will be no peace. Interestingly enough with that, it will also be such terrible times. So you can't tell, you got to stay alert. Okay.